We see now through a mirror darkly, then we will see face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here we are, as I just said, on the cusp of the great penitential season of Lent, there to enter into the desert with our blessed Savior for 40 days, there to seek him, there to find him, there to follow where he trod, that in dying with him, dying to ourselves, we might rise together with him. And yet the life for which we crave, that deep yearning, that deep satisfaction of our hearts to be seen and to be loved by one who sees us completely, truly, without shadow, is a life already offered to us, a life we begin now, if only we could see it with the eyes of faith. The only difference between this life in which we participate by our baptism and the life to come, so we are called to enjoy in heaven its sight. We already live of that very life of the Blessed Trinity. Though we walk by faith and not by sight, as St. Paul reminds us, we do see our Lord still with the eyes of faith, though in a dark manner. It is not for nothing then that our Blessed Savior heals a blind man at the end of his great announcement of his imminent sufferings to his disciples. They all rise to Jerusalem, that holy city on a hill. There, he says to them, there I will suffer for you. There I will die for you. There I will be raised for you. They understood nothing, those poor disciples. They did not see. So to help them, to help us, how often do we also not see? To give glory to his name, to help us to join him on that path, he heals the blind man, whose faith does make him see, just as our faith must make us see this morning. It is by faith that we reap the benefits of this approaching holy season. It is by faith that we live of the life to come now, and it is as a reward for our faith that we will enjoy the fruit of that very life, blessed eternity with our Lord. This season, Lent, is a season of mercy. Let us remind ourselves, why has our Savior come? The joys of Christmas, its beauty, are distant echoes now. They were joys that announced our liberation, and we rejoiced indeed, but it is a liberation paid in blood. He has come to suffer and to die. Mercy in Latin, misericordia, as Blessed Columba Marmion says, mercy is when goodness meets misery. A good heart, at the sight of misery, itself becomes miserable until that very misery it sees is relieved. A good heart, a good man, is afflicted at the sight of suffering. And that very affliction will know no end until the suffering is relieved. Thus then, the mercy of our Lord. And what misery does our Lord see? There is only one true poverty in this life. It is spiritual poverty, not to know our Lord. There is only one true evil in this life, and that evil is sin. It is into this poverty, into this evil which our Lord descends, to open our eyes that we might see. As he says, he has come to save that which was lost. He has come to win a people unto himself, as St. Peter reminds us, not to be purchased with silver or with gold, but with his most precious blood. It is in seeing with the eyes of faith, a faith that opens our eyes, as our Savior says to the man whose eyes he heals, that we might understand the work of our Lord on the cross, the work of our Lord on our altars, the work of our Lord in our lives, and give him true thanksgiving, true praise, true glory. The blind man sees our Lord by faith, a faith that gave sight to his mind before it gave sight to his eyes. His faith opening the eyes also of the people around Jesus, who then follow him, glorifying God. Let us follow him then too this Sunday as we prepare to enter the great season of Lent. Let us let our eyes be opened. Our Lord has come to suffer and die. But what is it then that exactly that we must wish to see? In Jesus, do we merely see a good man who dies for his friends. The most perfect of men, let us grant, a man who gives us an example of fortitude and courage, who merely shows us how to be patient and persevere in the midst of the greatest of sufferings. Is that all our Lord is for us? Or is there something more to his mercy than mere human solidarity? There is much more. By our baptism, we are submerged, as the word baptism means, in his passion, in his death, in his resurrection. There is no other pattern of our holiness than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not merely as an example, though he is. Not merely as our leader and as our best, though he is. It is his virtue, it is his life that must dwell in us. Not figuratively, but really and truly. Jesus has come to transform our human suffering. In espousing our nature, truly as Isaiah says, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The night that he was betrayed in his sacred agony, he bore the entire weight of all human guilt, agony, anguish, suffering, more than any man could bear, more than any man will ever know. And he left a sacred imprint in each of his steps during his passion, that we might draw strength from them, that we, by our baptism, might at last unite our sufferings with him. He embraced in that moment all the sufferings that we have the faith and the courage to let him take, to give to him, and no longer bear alone. From the moment of our baptism, when we lovingly accept from the hand of our Heavenly Father's providence the troubles, the anxieties, the tragedies that he permits to befall us, when we accept them with love, resignation, patience, and perseverance, Jesus takes them on himself. The Father looks upon us, but he no longer sees our face. He sees the sacred image, the holy face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sufferings are then his sufferings. Our sufferings are divine. And as Blessed Columba Marmion says, they are a continual prayer before the throne of God. That same great Benedictine blessed tells us, however, that there are two kinds of souls whose lack of sight gives little glory to Jesus Christ. The first are those who are blind to their own misery. They do not see how great their poverty is, how poor they are in virtue, how weak, how greatly immersed in vice, and each of us this morning must be convinced that that is true of every single one of us. They cannot see their own wounds, and therefore they cannot see, as we all must see, how desperately we need the healing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second category who gives so little glory to God are those who know their misery, who see it, but who lack confidence in Christ our Lord. For while it is a great grace to know our misery, it would by itself be a complete poison. This second group see their weakness, but they do not see their Savior. Or seeing him without faith, they do not see his divinity, his love, his power to save, how he wishes to use our weakness, like that of St. Paul last Sunday, to glorify the Father. What do we see in the blind man in today's gospel? He hears the footsteps of our Savior as he passes. He hears the followers of this divine Son of David. He knows the Messiah is passing. He believes with all his heart that the power of God dwells in this God-man. And our Lord, in his great love, for we cannot doubt that he earnestly wishes to heal this man, our Lord delays a moment before responding, before commanding that he be brought to himself. Our Lord allows himself to be entreated more greatly, and it is all to this man's merit, to the greatness of his love. The blind man's perseverance, his confidence, win him yet a greater grace, for it is his faith that makes him well in his soul, reflected exteriorly in his body. Let us ask our blessed Savior, therefore, our true God, the true son of David. Let us pray to him perhaps like this. Lord, that I might see, that I might see my misery, yes, but that I might see thine invincible love, that I might have absolute confidence in that love and in thine ability to heal me, to save me from sin, to reduce the enemies of my soul to nothing. Be my protector and my refuge, O Lord, as the introit says. Help me to see that each of my sufferings, that I unite to thee by faith, each of my worries, my anxieties and cares, that I lay at thy sacred feet. They are no longer mine, they are yours. Them thou dost bear, them the Father will see, and see that it is thee who carry them, it is thee who suffers. And we will see in that sacred moment that it is thee who saves. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.